All right, take your Bibles and turn back again to 1 Samuel chapter 25. Our subject tonight, the sinner meeting the Lord in repentance. Now, as you probably guessed by now or learned by now, that the Lord has given me an insight into how God saves a sinner. Now, the way I preach this is unknown and unpreached and for the most part unexperienced by the vast majority of our religious people. And I've had preachers tell me, well, I emphasize too much on the term experience. Well, it's not the experience that we emphasize in. It's the fact that we meet the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And that's what we have to know. And then people today, for the most part, they think that all the highways are going to heaven. I had a dear Methodist lady tell me one day, she said point blank, she said, well, I'm going this highway, you're going that highway. And she said, we're traveling different highways, but we're all going to meet at the throne of God. I said, no, we're not. I said, there's only one highway. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the highway. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said very plainly in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, as we study the Word of God, it is good for us to do these things. And I'll tell you why. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 for just a moment. Keep your finger on 1 Samuel 25. We're coming right back to it. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to notice what our Lord tells us to do. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For such an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the sad commentary of today's evangelism is this. People are told, well, don't let anybody ever tell you that you doubt your salvation. In other words, when an individual makes a profession of faith, they point blank tell them, do not examine your calling and election. Well, beloved, we need to examine our calling and election and make them sure, because if we do these things, we shall never fall. Now, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 25, and you look with me beginning at verse 18, and I'm going to read verses down through verse 35. Listen again to the Word of God, if you will. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertained to him by the morning light any man-child. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, upon me, my lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him, but I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good thing that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord. Either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself, but when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hath kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any man-child. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go in peace to thine house. See, I have accepted thy voice, and have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. Let's bow for prayer. Our Lord, tonight, sanctify this service. Give listening ears, attentive minds, and then, O blessed Spirit of God, work in every one of our hearts here this evening. Forgive us where we have failed thee today. And Lord, cause this service to be acceptable and pleasing in thy sight. Keep thy hand on this work. Make it to grow and prosper. And Lord, draw people to this place that they might hear the truth of God. Because we know, Lord, except thou dost draw them, they'll never come. And so we pray, start drawing them even at this hour. O Lord, move upon this community. Thou dost know its hatred, its opposition. And thou dost know that this community is more or less holds this church in contempt. And, O our God, we just pray, break that thing down as only thou art able, and cause individuals to become seekers after thee. We ask it now, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. As I mentioned before, our subject tonight is the sinner meeting the Lord in repentance. Now, God meets us in mercy. We meet him in repentance. And so we find very clearly that what Abigail experienced with David is what you and I have experienced with the Lord Jesus if we are saved. Now, usually, the person does not fully understand what has happened to them until they come and hear some messages on this subject. And not too many preachers today will preach on how God saves a sinner. Most of them ignore that subject, because most of them have fallen into the mire of their own making, in which they tell an individual to take a verse of Scripture, and if they utter this particular prayer, then they're saved. But, beloved, God doesn't work that way. Now, I've been down that route. And God doesn't work that way. And we find that when God saves a sinner, he saves that individual, because that individual is saved like Abigail was converted. Now, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, salvation is all of God, and it's all of grace. But I'm going to tell you this. When Abigail came to David, I'll tell you, when he hearkened unto her voice and accepted her person, she went away justified by David. And I'm going to say to you very kindly, she knew it absolutely. There was no doubt about it. And we find the same thing is true at this present hour when the Lord Jesus Christ justifies an individual. Now, our lesson tonight, we'll look at two things for just a few moments. First of all, we're going to look at the condition of a sinner under conviction. This is Abigail. Then secondly, we're going to look at the reception that is given to the repentant sinner. Now, as I've said before, I'm going to say again, your salvation and mine is a personal experience between us and God. I can't get saved for you. You can't get saved for me. You can't get saved for anybody else. Every individual has got to have that personal experience with the Lord. Now listen carefully. Every individual's experience with the Lord is personal unto them. Now follow me. However, as personal as it is unto them, it will have the general characteristics that are set forth in this book. And so, therefore, our experience with God has got to correspond with that which is set forth in the Word of God. Now, a lot of preachers don't understand this, and it's sad to say. But tonight, for a few moments, I want to show you, if I may, the condition of every sinner when that individual is under conviction by the Holy Spirit. We find in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 18. Listen to what it says. Then Abigail made haste, and she took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on ashes, and she said unto her servants, Go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. Now, preacher, what in the world do you have here? All right, Abigail, like every sinner when God sets out to save him, Abigail was put under the judgment of God's anointed. In the Old Testament, David was God's anointed, and Abigail was under the judgment of David. And, beloved, she knew it. In the New Testament, we find very clearly the individual, when he's under conviction, will know what it means to be under the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me show that to you. Turn to John chapter 5, if you will, in the 5th chapter of the book of John. And we find in verse 25 down through verse 27, or verse 22, I should say, down through verse 27, these words. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. Now, if you want an interesting study, take the 5th chapter of John, and you'll find there the crown rights of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 5, verse 22, we read, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. You see what this does? How many times do preachers tell people today, well, God's too good, too kind, too loving, too understanding to ever send an individual to hell? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us very clearly that God the Father has committed all judgment unto Christ. Now look again, verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, preacher, what do you have here? Here you have the crown right of the Lord Jesus. David, listen now, David held Abigail in his hands. He could spare her or kill her. Every sinner is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ can spare that sinner or let that sinner go and he'll die and go to hell. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Because all judgment has been given into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abigail was under the judgment of God's anointed. A sinner under conviction knows that he's under the judgment of God's anointed, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a second thing. So go back to 1 Samuel chapter 25 and listen to me if you will. And we find the second thing about Abigail was this. She was unable to obtain redemption by works. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, look what she did. In verse 18 down through verse 20, we find she did these things. She took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on ashes, and she said unto her servants, Go on before me, behold, I come after you. Now, what in the world do you have here? Abigail recognized very clearly that she was unable to obtain redemption by works. Well, preacher, how do you know? Well, look with me, if you will, verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ash, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in the, thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. What do we have here? Abigail begging for mercy. Well, now why did she ask David to have mercy on her? Because she knew that she could not satisfy the judgment that she was under by bringing anything of her own hands. She knew that if she was ever to be spared, David had to do it. And when a sinner is under Holy Spirit conviction, that sinner knows very clearly he's unable to obtain redemption by works, and he knows very clearly that if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't save him, nobody else can and nobody else will. And so what does he do? He does like Abigail did with David. We find that she fell at his feet and began to beg for mercy. And so a sinner does the same thing when that individual is under conviction. Now hold your seat. And let me give you this truth. A sinner under conviction, it doesn't have to be taught how to pray. Now you let it soak in. How many times today, look at your TV program. Some of them that are fair, as I say, some of them that are fundamental, and what do they do? At the close of the service, they say, will you repeat after me this prayer? And then they say, if you've repeated this prayer after me, and you did it in sincerity, then you're saved. No, you're not. Abigail had to have a personal experience with David. The individual has got to have a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I pray you do. Because if you don't, my friend, then your religious profession is not going to hold up in the day of judgment. And what a sad thing it would be for you to leave this life and wind up in a devil's hell. But Abigail was unable to obtain redemption by works, and she knew it. The third thing about Abigail was this. She was unwilling to remain in this condition. In other words, the uppermost thing in her mind and heart that captivated her and brought her attention to it was the fact that David was coming and they were under judgment and they didn't know when David was coming. They knew that if David came, he would slaughter that household. But Abigail was not willing to remain under the judgment of David. And when God gets a hold of a sinner and puts that sinner under conviction, that sinner is unwilling to remain under the sentence of judgment that is upon him. He doesn't want to stay there. He knows he's going to hell. He looks around and sees the world. They're all going to hell. He wonders if there's anybody that's been truly converted. But it doesn't make any difference to the person or not. He said, even if I'm the only one, I am not going to stop until I have the satisfaction given to me by Christ. And Abigail was in the same category. She was unwilling to remain in this condition. But then the fourth thing about Abigail was this. She was unsure of how she would be received. Well, now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, go back with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 25, and look at verse 20. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, and she came down by the covert of the hill, behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now listen carefully. She didn't come riding on that donkey of hers. You might say, as happy as she could be. She came on that donkey, and I dare say that donkey was probably breathing real hard because Abigail had whipped that donkey into haste. That donkey had to move in a hurry. Why? She was in a hurry to see David. She was in a hurry to find out if David would spare her or not. And I'll tell you right now, when God gets a hold of a sinner, that sinner is going to weep, that sinner is going to cry, that sinner is going to read his Bible, that sinner is going to sue for mercy, and you can't stop that sinner suing for mercy until the answer comes. And this is the way God does. Now, this does away with this individual like they have every Sunday morning and the evening in our churches. Well, you come down now. If anybody wants to come down here tonight now, and you accept Jesus. And so people walk down and we find, and I've seen it done, People walk down, they walk down the aisle, they take the preacher by the hand, and they say, I'm accepting Jesus as my Savior, and they go right back out, and they stand out there smoking and laughing and joking at the close of the service, and there's been no change in their life whatever. Well, beloved, something is wrong. Abigail had a change. We find very clearly. What did she do? She was unsure of how she would be received. Well, how do you know, preacher? Look again, if you will, verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Now, there was no confidence there in Abigail. She was unsure of how she was going to be received. And are you listening? The same thing is true with regard to individuals when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me show that to you. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 8, and listen to what it says. In Matthew, chapter 8, and we find beginning verses 1 through 3, look at the story here of the leper. In Matthew chapter 8, and we find in verse 1 through 3, the Word of God says these words. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You didn't see that individual walking up to Jesus and saying, I'm accepting you. No, sir. He was at the feet of Christ. And notice what he said. Lord, if thou wilt. In other words, it's in your hand. And beloved, when God deals with a sinner in conviction, it's the same thing. And this is the way God has dealt with you or will deal with you if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour, and you'll be glad that he deals with you this way. But then the fifth thing about Abigail was this. She was unsatisfied until an answer was received. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 25, turn back with me if you will, and we find in this portion of the Word of God, look at verse 26 and down through verse 28, I should say. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. And then we find in verse 31 these words, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, now notice these words, then remember thine handmaid. Are you listening? That's the same kind of a prayer that the thief on the cross sent to the Lord Jesus. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Abigail says here, when the Lord shall have made you the king of Israel, as he decreed that he would, she said, then remember thine handmaid. She was unsure until an answer was given her. But then I want you to notice, here's the beautiful aspect of it, and we find very clearly that the individual is this way concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find, we see very clearly that an answer did come, did it not? All right, now let's look at that answer. We find this was Abigail, under the judgment of God's anointed, unable to obtain redemption by works, unwilling to remain in this position, unsure of how she would be received, unsatisfied until an answer was forthcoming. All right, now let's look at what happens. What happens when a sinner comes to Christ that way? What happened when Abigail came to David that way? There are five things also that stand out here. And remember, five is the number of grace. Now look with me again. 1 Samuel chapter 25, look at verse 23. This is what it says. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Now, here's what takes place. Here's the reception that is given to a repentant sinner by our blessed Lord Jesus Christ when God saves that sinner. David, we find David a picture of Christ. What did he do? He saw Abigail at his feet. She jumped off that donkey she was on. She fell at the feet of David, bowed herself to the ground, in a prostrate position, if I may use that term, and we find she would beg and date. And when God sees an individual, that individual comes to Christ, that individual comes to Christ in that manner. And we find that the Lord looks upon the individual as we are looked upon by God's anointed. The Lord Jesus Christ does it to the individual as David did it to Abigail. Now let's see if we can find that in the New Testament. I've had people tell me point blank, well, you can't find these things in the New Testament. Oh, yes, we can. Turn, if you will, to Mark chapter 14 and listen to what it says. In Mark chapter 14, turn to it with me and see it for yourself as it's penned for us there by the Word of God. In Mark chapter 14, we find, beginning with verse 3, down through verse 9, you have these words. Listen to it. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard and very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for the poor or for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work for me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And you'll find this passage is found not only in Mark, it's found in Matthew, and it's also found in John, and in the passage in Matthew, it'll tell you very clearly that this woman was a great sinner. And the woman that came and anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, she's a picture here of Abigail. As Abigail came and fell at the feet of David, she fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and anointed him, and we find very clearly the Lord Jesus said he thought so much of it that he put it in his word 3 different times in the Bible. And wherever the gospel goes home, this action of this woman will also be set forth. Now, why do I tell you this? When God sees a repentant sinner, we are looked upon by God's anointing. Then, the second thing is this. We are listened to with interest and compassion. Again, verse 24. Look at what she said. Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Then look at verse 28. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Now, what in the world do you have here? David looked upon her and listened to her, I should say, with interest and compassion. Now, I've had people tell me very clearly. Had a lady in the last church I pastored. She went on this way for several years. She said, there's no hope for me. I came to her one day and I said to her point blank, I said, if there's no hope for you, what are you doing here? I said, why don't you go on back out in the world? Well, she says, I can't. I said, why not? She said, I don't want to go back out there. She said, I want to get saved. I said, then don't tell me there's no hope. And so we had a little old Baptist preacher. He stood about that high. He was a little Jewish Baptist preacher from South Africa. And she walked up to him and she said to him very clearly, she said, oh, Brother Mundell, she said, I want you to pray for me. She said, I'm lost. And she said, I'm lost and going to hell. He said, well, how come? She looked at him kind of funny. She said, what do you mean, how come? Well, he said, why hasn't the Lord saved you? She said, I don't know. He said, well, I'll tell you. He said, because you don't believe what he said. And God drove that home there in her heart, and within a couple of weeks, the lady said, the Lord saved her. Now, beloved, when Abigail came to David, we find she was looked upon by God's anointed. She was listened to with interest and compassion. Then the third thing about Abigail was this. Listen now. She was liberated from the sentence of judgment. Now, where in the world do you find that? 1 Samuel chapter 25, look at verse 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. Now look at verse 35. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, look at these words, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And there, and right there, Abigail was liberated from the sentence of judgment that she was under. And the Lord Jesus does the same thing. One moment, we're at his feet, suing for mercy, crying out, and crying out for help. And we find the next moment, the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to our hearts. And one moment we're lost, the next moment we have been liberated from the judgment that we were under. And are you listening? Every individual that's truly converted knows this. And they know that they know. Now look again, if you will. We find the fourth thing about Abigail. Again, in verse 35. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, look at these words, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And what do we have here? Abigail was lifted up in the favor of David. One moment she was under his judgment. One moment she was under the sentence of death. The next moment, David had listened to her with interest and compassion. He liberated her from the judgment that she was under, and he lifted her up to be in favor with him, because he said these words, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And are you listening? The only thing Abigail had to go on, follow me now, was the word of David. The only thing you and I have to go on is the word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. The Word of God gives us the assurance of our faith. And like Abigail, we find very clearly in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever traveled this route? Am I speaking a foreign language to you? Have you dare you go back and examine yourself, how the Lord saved you? You ever go back and ask yourself this question? Well, what happened to me when God saved me? If it hasn't been the greatest experience you've had in this life, then put it down. You've missed Christ. Because the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. And then notice, if you will, the last thing about Abigail was this. She was given the word by David, and we find she with the lasting reality was given to her, and I want you to notice, she believed what David said. In verse 35 we read, so David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. Now look at these words. And Abigail came to Nabal. You see, like my wife sings a song, when I went to the cross bearing all of my shame and trembling inside, I expected God's worst, but he gave me his best, and he sent me away justified. And that's exactly what happened here to Abigail. That's what happened to you, if you've been truly converted. Now, God doesn't have a dozen different ways to save a sinner. But we find the Lord God of heaven will give you the word written to you. It'll be personal to you. It may not be personal to anybody else. but it'll be personal to you that God has told you through His Word these things, that you have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you this. You go back and say, this is what God told me. And it's found in the Word of God. And are you listening? Nothing else will suffice. If I tell you that God saved you, I could be telling you a lie, because I can't save you. Nobody else can either. This has got to come between you and the Lord God of heaven, as it came between David and Abigail. Now, why do I tell you these things? Because Satan is such a trickster today, and the vast majority of our so-called religious people, by their lives, as you've watched them, we find out the vast majority of them, all they have is a mental assent to a given truth. And I'll tell you this, the Lord Jesus doesn't mean that very much to them at all. Like I told my wife today, she called some folks this week, and they came to church. I said, what a shame and a disgrace that you have to call a professing Christian to come to church. What do you mean, preacher? They ought to be there every time the doors are open. What's your excuse tonight for staying away from the house of God? If the Lord means anything to you, I'm going to tell you right now, if He doesn't mean everything to you, He doesn't mean anything to you. And we need to understand that. And what a shame and a disgrace it is that we have people that are not members of this congregation or not members of this Baptist church. They're more faithful than a lot of members whose names are on the church roll. And I'll tell you right now, they come whenever they feel like it. Well, I'll say this to you very kindly. If you've had a real experience with God, you can't go Sunday after Sunday without being found in the house of God. It's an impossibility. And if you can do that, then I put a high question mark as to whether or not the Lord God of heaven has ever genuinely reached down and delivered you. Now notice, Abigail went home. And look at verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal. And behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. God sent him to hell, didn't he? All right, now what in the world are you talking about? Notice what Abigail did. She waited until Nabal was absolutely sober and told him the truth. You know why? She couldn't hide it any longer. She just couldn't hide it. And when God has saved an individual, I'm going to tell you right now, that individual wants others to know that the Lord has saved him or her, if it's a genuine salvation. Now in this closing moment, I want to leave this with you. Salvation is first of all a deliverance from the Lord. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at me at verses 9 and 10. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we find verses 9 and 10, you have here the picture of Abigail in the New Testament, and you have here the picture of yourself when you were under conviction. And I want you to notice what it says. In verses 9 and 10 we read, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Abigail was delivered from so great a death, wasn't she? You and I have been delivered from so great a death, and we shall be delivered in the near future. And then we find the second thing is this. The time for redemption is now. I haven't touched on this in this chapter, but if you'll sit down and read this chapter, you'll find out that David is a picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. David was coming. He was coming to judge that family. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming to judge the world. David was coming unexpectedly. Abigail didn't know when he was coming. She knew he was. And this world today does not know when Christ is coming. Oh, I know you have all kinds of people that tell you this, we'll buy this and buy this and so on. We don't know when Christ is coming. He tells us, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I used to think that the Lord Jesus would probably come on a Saturday night. I'm just about convinced now he'll come on Sunday night. I'll tell you why, because 50% and better of the professing church are doing what? They're playing. On Sunday night they're praying, and they're not praying. They're playing instead of praying. And then we find very clearly, David is coming, this Judge Abigail, he was coming as God's anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming as God's anointed also. And then one more thing, the visitation from God comes when least expected. Nabal had his opportunity. When David's men came to him, he railed on them, they turned and walked away. And God put David, or God put Nabal, under the judgment of David. And David was going to judge him, and God didn't allow him to do that. But we find after the Lord God of heaven had saved Abigail, what happened? She told Nabal what had taken place in her life, and we read very clearly that his heart died like a stone. And we find his heart died within him, and he became as a stone, and 10 days later, the Lord sent him to hell. He smote him, and he died. You see, beloved, the visitation from God comes at God's time, not ours. And how many people do we know? Well, I waited for 3 years so that I could get saved with my son or with my daughter. It doesn't work that way. I waited until my wife and I could walk down the aisle together and get saved. It doesn't work that way. It's a personal experience with every individual. And we find that God saves some and he passes by others. Because he is a sovereign God. Don't make sure that it doesn't pass by you. There's a story that goes like this. The title of it is Too Bad for an Idol, Yet Saved by Christ. There's a man who is a wicked man. And because of his wickedness, what did they do? They lacerated his back and scarred it terribly. This man went to sea and became a sailor. His ship was sunk, and he was cast upon an island. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know anything about those natives. But those natives came and took him, and we find that this is what they do. They wined him and they dined him. They kept him for certain weeks, and they wined him, and they dined him, and they fed him the best of food and everything else. And then one morning, what did they do? They led him up on a hill, which was where was an altar, and we find that the priests of that particular tribe, this is what they did. They stood there with their knives in their hands. And they were ready to put that man upon the altar and offer him as a human sacrifice to their God. But this is what they did. When they ripped his shirt off from him and they saw all those scars and everything upon his back, they looked at each other and murmured and shook their heads, and they wouldn't accept him. That if he was not good enough to be offered to an idol. He remained there a short time later, a ship picked him up, and he was put in the brig on the way home, and all he had was to read a Bible, and while he read that Bible, he got converted in the midst of that ship's brig. And they let him home. When they brought him home, they found out that there were no charges against him, so they let him go home. And what did he do? He came to his home, and he didn't know if he was going to be accepted or not. But there he saw a candle in the window that his mother had put there. And he came in, and he opened the door, and we find that here, there she was with the candle in the window, and she was sitting there reading her Bible and praying for him. And he ran in and fell at his feet, and he said, "Oh, Mama," he said, "I was not good enough to be sacrificed unto an idol. But thank the Lord Jesus Christ. He had mercy on me." You see, that's the kind of God we serve. Not good enough for an idol, but not too bad for God to save us. And how wonderful it is that he's still saving individuals at this time. Now notice, if you will, these words that Abigail received from David, written in her mind and in her brain forever. And he said to her, these words, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person." And what is it? Listen carefully. One word from thee is sufficient. When grace had called and I was blind, when sin became as black as night, when my soul cried, O Lord, how long? One word from thee brought me my sight. When sin sick and as still as death, and thy word was sharp as a knife, when mercy's door was opened wide, one word from thee, Lord, and there was life. It's just a word spoken by thee, based on thy blood from Calvary. Thou hast become my life, my all. One word from thee, Lord, is all I need. When trouble comes now, as thy child, and when it seems all heaven's brass, waiting on thee, pleading thy blood, one word from thee, Lord, and sadness is past. When heaven's door is opened wide, when thou dost come to take thy bride, when in the twinkling of an eye, one word from thee, Lord, we're by thy side. It's just a word spoken by thee, based on thy blood from Calvary. Thou hast become my life, my all. One word from thee, Lord, is all I need. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I pray that you do. Shall we stand? Take your songbooks, if you will, and turn to number 295. No, I'll correct myself.